The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and we talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors sometimes, most of the time. What are you frowning about in there? Well, that would make me frown, too, talking to Brian. Bethany is your new producer this morning, a lovely lady. If you'd like to hear the sound of a lovely female voice this morning, give us a call here at 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. We await your questions, and keep it nice. And we await your questions here, your comments on anything that you might have heard in the news. The number is 410-922-6680, 800-922-6680. If you're outside the local dialing area and calling from a landline. And we hope to hear from you on whatever you want to talk about this morning, whether it's perch, rockfish, crabs. ran into the crab program, Maryland Department of Natural Resources crab program director, Brenda Davis, the other day. They're in the middle of their midwinter crab survey. I said, "What can you tell me?" She says, "Can't tell you anything." I said, "Okay." She said, "We got 14 more sites to survey, and we'll let you know." I said, "Well, fair enough. Got to do your science. Got to do your science." So, fine with me. We got Bill and Towson calling in. Let's talk to Bill. Good morning, Bill. How are you? Hello, Bill.
Hey, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm all right. Well, how are you? I knew this is. How are you, Bill?
Well, things are good. You've been talking a little bit about the silting in behind the Conowingo Dam up on the Susquehanna.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time, a lot of years, up at the Broad Creek Boy Scout Reservation.
Yeah, sure.
Up on Broad Creek. They've got a lake up there called Lake Strauss.
Right.
Used to be, oh gosh, Alan, I'd say it's about 4 or 5 acres big. You can walk across that thing right now. It's no more than ankle deep. It's fully silted in. The effort to try to clean that up has been impossible because they say that everything that's in there is toxic, and it would then go right down the Broad Creek into the Susquehanna. The silt that's backed up behind the Conowingo Dam, can they possibly let that out down the Susquehanna passport deposit into the bay? Can they possibly do that?
That's what they're going to do. That's what they've been doing.
That just floors me that they would do that, because that's some pretty stinky stuff that
happens every time there's a storm.
Yeah, I mean that river.
I mean, you got 52 gates on there. And I think the last time they opened all 52 was during Agnes and maybe some other major storm since then. But they let half of those gates open, and all that gunk is headed down into the bay.
Yeah, amazing. A lot of people don't know how big that river is. Comes all the way down from Harrisburg. It's one big river.
It comes all the way down from New York State.
Probably so.
Yeah, I mean, I've turkey hunted up there just on the Pennsylvania side of the New York border, and if you think about it, there's this a county in northern Pennsylvania called Susquehanna County.
Yeah.
So, the river runs all the way down through this entire state of Pennsylvania. I think there's 15 different dams on it. And imagine behind every one of those dams how much silt is there. This one and the two upstream from here, Conowingo and the two upstream from here, are the worst offenders as far as the silt, because they're at the end of the line.
Yeah. I keep sailboat down in Sparrows Point, only draws about 5.5 feet, but they've got to dredge now to even get it into the marinas.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I understand it. I mean, that's why we got to dredge the Chesapeake Bay, you know?
What?
Yes, yeah, it's a terrible problem. Of course, when that flow comes down, you know, that silt covers all the marine vegetation, all the submerged aquatic vegetation, covers that all up. It kills it. It suffocates it. And, you know, it's loaded with nutrients, loaded with phosphorus and nitrogen, the two pollutants, major pollutants in the bay that combine. And the reason they combine to make the bay a problem is that those two nutrients are the ones that will create a robust algae bloom. It's not it's not that it's a pesticide or anything like that. It's a nutrient that creates the algae bloom, and the algae bloom further sucks the oxygen out of the water. The algae itself covers the leaves of the submerged aquatic vegetation, which, you know, basically a plant photosynthesizes. It breathes carbon dioxide and exhales oxygen. Well, when there's you know, reduced number of submerged aquatic vegetation, SAVs, in the bay, then the oxygen level in the bay continues to decline. So it's
Well, I haven't fertilized my lawn in about 15 years.
Sure.
And never felt the need to.
Right.
Don't need it in the watershed.
Exactly right.
Well, cheers, Alan. Thanks for...
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate you calling me.
I don't know what they'll do about Broad Creek, but nothing.
Not right now. But
yep, cheers, mate.
All right, cheers. Thank you, Bill. There he goes. Let's talk to Rudy on Kent Island. There's my man. Rudy, how you doing, buddy?
I'm fine, Alan. How are you doing?
Good, man. What's going on?
Okay. Two things I wanted to talk about. One was algae blooms and catch and release fishing.
Yep.
But before that, Dale from Easton called in.
Yes.
And Dale and I, he was formerly Dale from Denton.
I know, yeah.
But it rhymed better.
Yep.
But we were hired at the same time back in 1973.
Right.
And sometimes when coworkers... one gets promoted above the other, there's resentment. Dale became my supervisor for a number of years. And hello, Dale. I know you're probably still listening.
Oh, he is.
But,
yep.
For a number of years doing this catch and release studies, I was a one-person project. And Dale, being my supervisor, always made sure that I had plenty of support to get the stuff done. So, Dale, thank you. Your support is greatly appreciated. Greatly appreciated. Anyway, algae blooms. The gentleman called about algae blooms and stratification.
Yes.
Before I began doing the catch and release studies, I spent 23, 24 years doing fish kill investigations around the state. And the algae blooms don't cause the stratification causes the algae blooms.
Aha! Uh-huh.
As you well know, water changes density with temperature.
Yes, it does.
And
the thermocline.
The algae needs sunlight to photosynthesize, as you were saying. So as the water changes density, the warm water tends to stay on top of the colder water, and the algae needing the sunlight stays in the upper levels of the water.
Right.
And can cause problems, as you were saying before, with oxygen consumption. During the daylight, like you said, they photosynthesize, and at night they tend to respirate because there's a lack of oxygen. And we have had some massive fish kills in Chesapeake Bay.
Sure.
Back river back in the 70s. Had a series of kills in 1974, the same month I got married. And we had four major fish kills that was mostly young of your menhaden, the peanut menhaden, as I call them.
Mm-hmm.
It killed over 100 million fish in 1 month. Wow. I have photographs, you know, it was unbelievable, the number of fish that died. So the gentleman's observation is... certainly pertinent. You know, stratification and algae blooms are connected, but it's the temperature difference that causes the stratification that encourages the algae blooms.
Okay, so the answer to the question is that the thermocline, so to speak,
exactly,
where the warmer water separates from the warmer water basically floats on top of the colder layer of water.
You're correct.
In that upper level is where you'll find the algae bloom, and it will be widespread in that, I don't know, does it follow along the thermocline, or is it just contained in that upper however many feet or inches of warmer water?
I think from what I've seen, it's mostly contained in the upper levels.
Upper levels, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I got it. Okay. So,
in fact, there were times where we'd be motoring through an algae bloom, and looking in the prop wash,
yeah,
you can see clear water come up.
Really? So yeah. The top couple of inches. Well, I mean, it's like I said, it's like throwing a blanket over the bay. I mean, you know, you
exactly,
can't
yes.
smothering it basically. So
yes,
very nice, Rudy. I appreciate that. Don't always remember to keep me in mind on where you're speaking, and
okay.
we'll try to show up.
Good deal.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
See ya. There he goes. Captain Dan coming up, but now we have Mike in Baltimore, and then Captain Dan. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
How you doing, Al?
Good. What's up?
All right. My question is to you about the car, like, two before.
Yeah.
Right. He talked to her and talked about the homeless and
yeah.
stuff like that on the side.
Yeah.
Put it this way. Most homeless people and stuff like that are more kind of like controversy on throwing anything in the water than anybody. Because, see, when they go in the homeless shelters and stuff like that, they're taught that to recycle all that.
Uh-huh. So you're saying that he's pointing the finger at the homeless, those little homeless tent villages.
Right.
And that's not the people who are throwing the stuff in the bay.
You might be 10 people out of all of them that might do that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
But the majority of them is not doing that.
Uh-huh.
And you got to figure, the majority of them are on programs to try to get normal and stuff like that. So they're not out to get drugs and stuff. I've been there, and I've done that.
Uh-huh.
I've been homeless and stuff.
Okay.
I lost my job because it turned around the economy and stuff.
Yeah.
I lost my job.
Uh-huh. But you personally never had any substance abuse problems or things like that?
At one time when I was younger, but that didn't have nothing to do with it then.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, I killed the substance problem before I lost my job and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That was when I was in my 20s.
What did you do for a living, Mike, that you lost your job? What did you do for a living that you lost your job?
Commercial maintenance.
Really?
I could do any commercial building and do any job in it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Sounds like that would have been a desirable skill.
I worked down Bethlehem Steel as outside machinist.
Yeah.
So I had all this trade, but when you turn around and go out there and apply for a job,
mm-hmm.
if your economy crashed, you're overqualified.
Oh.
So they don't want to pay you the $25. Even I would have took a job for $18 an hour.
I bet, yeah.
And stuff like that. But they don't want to pay you that kind of money.
And therefore you became homeless.
No, my mom died and stuff like that.
Oh, I see.
With my mom and I was helping her out.
Yeah.
And
well,
stuff like that.
Mike, I'm sorry to hear about your plight, but I do appreciate the call that you tell us about the homeless people, that they do receive recycling training in the homeless shelters.
I got one other question for you, Al.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. With, like, the hunting license.
Okay.
Do you have to take the hunter safety course?
Yes, you do.
You had it?
Yes, you do.
You had it 30 years ago.
Do you have any record of it? Do you still have your card or anything like that?
I don't have the card, but
yeah.
My name's on file.
Yeah, were you born before 1972?
65.
You might be okay. You might have
right.
to sign. You might have to sign an affidavit that you actually had a hunting license before 1976.
I had a hunting license for probably 10 years.
Yeah. Well, then you should be able
to hunt all the time.
Yeah, you should be able to. You should be able to come up with your record somewhere within the bowels of DNR.
Right. The only reason I don't want to have to go through that when I already did it before.
Mm-hmm, I understand.
Right. But no, I appreciate it. I listen to your show all the time, man.
I appreciate that,
and stuff
Mike.
Like that. You guys got a great show and everything like that.
All right, buddy. Well, I'm certainly glad you called me, Mike. Thank you.
You have a good morning and everything like that. And everybody be safe today.
Okay, but hey, Mike, are you back on your feet a little bit?
Somewhat.
Okay, good. Glad to hear it.
I'm getting there.
Yeah, good.
I'm waiting for Social Security right now. I got three bad discs in my back.
Oh, buddy. Okay. All right, Mike. So, thanks, man.
You have a good morning.
You too, buddy. Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye. Life ain't always fair, is it? Do we want to take a break and then talk to Dan, or do we want to talk to Dan and take a break? Let's talk to Dan and then take a break. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Al?
Captain Dan, I'm fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to call you about the memorandum that came out from David Blazer on March 15th.
Okay. Was it a public document? Did it come out on a news release or something?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't know where it. The memorandum says it went to fishery advisory commissioners and past tournament directors.
That's where it went then. Okay.
Walt had it on his computer. I was up there Wednesday, so he gave me a copy of it. Basically, what it says in a crutch is based on studies over the last 6 to 8 years. They've decided all of a sudden that from June 15th through October 31st, bass fishing tournaments, an angler is allowed to have only one fish over 15 inches in the live well. The rest of the fish have to be between 12 and 15 inches.
Well, that just effectively killed the entire bass tournament industry in Maryland,
absolutely,
didn't it?
And they, according, without coming right out and saying it, they basically said that tournament directors, they are requesting that they adhere to the new regulations, which means it sounds like they're not going to make any exceptions. So the Bassmasters Elite on the Potomac is going to be a joke.
Wow. I wonder who's looking at this. That's interesting. That's interesting. If I could get a copy of that, I'd love to see that document. That's for sure.
Well, I have it with me in the truck right now.
Oh, I'm so. Talking about an email version of it so we can assess it. Yeah.
I will do my best to get you one.
Yeah, I would love to see that. I first was tipped off by your buddy Tacklebox on this last night. He texted me and he said you might be calling, but very interesting.
Yeah, he said if you wanted to get him on the line, he'd be more than glad to chime in a little bit, but it just, basically, it's, people like Dave Kilby and all, they're going to pretty much put them out of business.
Yeah.
Because, nobody's going to want to fish with one fish over 15 inches in the live well, and the rest of them got to be dinkers.
So it is going to basically burn our fishing economy here in Maryland.
Correct.
It's done.
Well, instead of looking at other ways, but basically telling people from New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania that have closed fisheries until June 15th, we don't want you down here either.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine. I can't imagine. I would really have to see who advised these people, because I know you've got members on Bass Federation Nation, or whatever it's called, on that advisory committee, and there had to be discussions about this. Yes,
there was. There was. It said, let's see.
Well, this couldn't. This it can't be.
It says due to more than 3 years of poor catch values in the Potomac River, further management action is dictated by the Title Bass Fisheries Management Plan. Actions were also suggested at the annual stakeholder meeting, Black Bass Roundtable, on February the 4th, because of concerns of the fishery. Beginning with permits issued March 2016, tournament permits will permit anglers to have a 12-inch minimum size, possession limit of five, largemouth and smallmouth, and only one, which may be over 15 inches per angler per day. And that starts June 16th through October 31st.
The point of a bass tournament is to accumulate five largest fish. Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, they're just pulling this out of the air. There's no, what kind of mortality studies have been done on tournaments?
There's quite a few. They list.
The question I have, Dan, is there science to back this up?
They have a whole page on scientific work.
Okay.
And they list probably a half a dozen studies.
Okay.
In there. And basically they say that the mortality rate in July 1989 was 19.1. More recent studies conducted by the department 2011-2000 June paralyzed veterans of America was possibly 25% total mortality, with 22% delayed mortality. And it was delayed mortality during the summer months would reach as high as 34% when the water temperature was over 80 degrees.
Hmm.
But that, you know, all that study is showing is that the tournament directors are not discussing or having an edict before the tournament as to properly taking care of your catch.
Right.
You got to add ice to the water.
Sure. I mean, you've been doing this a long time, Dan. I mean, you know. Out of all the bass tournaments that you fish, and it's been thousands, I have no doubt, hundreds at minimum, you know, how many fish do you feel you've lost over the years, percentage-wise? Huh?
I lost one.
One fish.
And okay. I was heartbroken.
Sure. And absolutely. I think most of the anglers are. Isn't that what the Bass Angler Sportsman Society is all about? Catch and release and conservation and everything else?
Absolutely. Well, I think this new competitive fishing tournament thing that they have on television, the MFL or whatever the heck.
Yeah.
Really, you know, goes to the point of get the fish out of the water, get away and get it back in the water, or just when you catch it, let it go.
Well, you know, that's really not a bad concept where you have a judge in every boat and they register the fish and the competition is all basically on your tablet.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's not a horrible concept, Dan.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's the next step.
Well, I did see something not too long ago that there is an app for your phone.
Well, there you go. Sure.
That has that exact setup.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that you can do that via your phone. If you're in a tournament, you can actually do that.
I'm not being a bad guy here. I'm just trying to raise some questions, okay? So if that's available, okay, let's put it this way. You guys spend $40,000 on a bass boat, okay? And whatever you spend on tackle a year, and whatever you spend on entry fees a year, wouldn't it make sense to spend a couple of $100 on a tablet that's gonna last for a couple more years, and you can register those fish just like they do on that tournament on I forget what it's called that's on the Outdoor Channel or whatever.
Yes,
and have you'd have to bring a judge onto every boat to make sure that there's no cheating and that type of thing, but then everybody in every boat knows where everybody stands at all times.
Exactly.
I mean, okay, so what, in the interest of conservation, wouldn't that be the logical next step to take the tournament levels to, rather than dragging all those fish back to the dock and putting them in the live box, you know, getting them out of the live box, into a bag, hauling them up on the scale, dumping them out on the scale, holding two fish up in the air, you know, putting them back in the bag, then shipping them down to the down to the release boat or whatever. I mean,
well,
I understand the pageantry, I understand the bragging rights, I understand the showmanship of the whole deal. But if it where's the focus, on the showmanship or on the competition, or is it both?
Well, you know, money talks and something walks.
Yeah, that's true.
And guys don't wear those shirts with all those.
All those patches, on them, all those logos on them.
Yeah. Absolutely, advertise. You know, they pay the bills.
That's true.
But I agree with you 100%.
Yeah,
I mean this technology is not expensive compared to, you said, $40,000 for bass boat. That only gets you either the back end of it or the front end of it. They don't get you both ends.
I don't know what they are anymore. I don't have that kind of, cake to invest.
Well, Triton came out with a bass boat this year with a list price of $104,000.
Okay, great. Yeah, gotcha. I can buy a lot of pleasure and a lot of fun with $104,000, more so than a bass boat. But
absolutely.
That's just all, brother.
All $1 bills.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
All right, boss. Well, I just wanted to throw that out, so you should have some lively discussion the rest of the show.
I would hope so. I don't see anybody lighting up the lines, but I think it's great that you called, and glad that you weighed in on it. So
nice to talk with you, Alan, and I will do my best to make sure you get a copy of this.
I would appreciate that. Yeah, I'd like to see that on email and see where it goes from there. And I hope we get a chance to go fishing this year.
Absolutely, boss.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thanks,
Dan.
Yep. Right, bye-bye. Well, there you go. Let's talk about some fishing. Let's talk about a tackle sale right now at Clyde's Sports Shop. Clyde's is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, and right now it's the Ready to Rock sale. Yep, started yesterday through next Sunday, Easter, March 27th. All Rockfish trolling baits and lures are on sale. You can save on premium monofilament line from just 1 cent per yard. In other words, if you take your empty spool in there and you say, guys, I want some 8-pound test Strand, or I want some 10-pound test Berkeley Trilene on here, you're going to get it for half price. That's right, half price on premium mono. The only exclusion is Power Pro line. Now, look, the pen reels are all on special, too. The coolest one is the new Warfare, a 30-weight level-wind reel for just $89.95. That is a bargain. Trolling combos start at $89.95 for the bargain basement trolling combo. The best trolling combo, the most popular trolling combo that they have, not the best one, is the Pen 330 GT2 with an Andy rod, 20 to 50-pound rod, and line, all ready to go for $139.95. So, there you go. Shakespeare rods and reels are on sale. Pfluger rods and reels are on sale. All the ugly stick rods are on sale. I broke the first ugly stick I ever picked up in a sporting goods store. I was showing somebody how they bent in a circle, and it snapped right in half. But that doesn't mean that the technology hasn't come a long way since they first came out in the 70s or 80s or whenever that was. Don't forget to check out the selection of St. Croix rods. All at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Phone number 410-242-6108. 24-hour fishing hotline is 410-247-3474. Don't forget, Clyde's has all the bait, all the lures, and all the tackle for every fish that swims in Maryland. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Stay connected. Listen on AM 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com.
New frequency detected.
All right, here we go. Let's talk to Don in Parkville about turkey hunting and then Tackle Box Tim coming up next. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
It's Alan. How are you?
Okay, I'm fine. You have a great show. This is the first time I've called in.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Getting ready for a Saturday job here, and I'm trying to beat this weather.
I hear you.
But at any rate, I was listening to your conversation with the fellows about the wash and the silt that's coming down the Susquehanna and so forth. And you just mentioned that at some time in your hunting career that you went up to Susquehanna County.
Yes, I did. Turkey hunting, yeah.
I'm a landlocked, I'm a lover now, but I was a merchant marine engineer back in the 70s. My wife and I moved from Charlottesville in 74 up to Loudoun County on the other side of Leesburg between
Delta
Airport and Sterling Park when they were finishing kind of doing a lot to Sterling at that time, and Loudoun County was serious construction going on. I built a house where Ashburn Park is right now, where the Redskins
are. Right.
And I was right on Goose Creek, and man, it was something down there. I mean, in that right outside the metro area, when I went down Washington Navy Yard most mornings, I could come back down Route 7, and when I headed on up Round Hill and Purcellville, and then come back down 7 before the 9 bypass, I had turkey in my backyard, Alan. And
sure.
My buddy and I used to float my 18-foot flat-bottom Grumman from Lake Round Hill on Goose Creek coming down, which is Goose Creek's like an offshoot of the Potomac, and it circles around and it comes back into Route 7 at Cub Run.
Right.
It hits the Potomac again right around White's Ferry. That was the best turkey hunt you ever saw. I don't know, it was incredible.
Not bad. Still not bad.
Oh, well, it's solid concrete around there.
A lot of it, yeah.
Yeah, nothing but condos and whatnot. Yeah. But at any rate, being a lover like I've been and working on semi-retired right now, 64, and I'd like to get back out there someplace not too far away where I might be able to get a Tom in the spring. And where would you recommend that?
Well, we're working with a new organization now, a relatively new organization called Upper Bay Outfitters. Uh-huh. And these guys are Cecil, Queen Anne's, and Kent County, about 15 to 18 farms and hundreds of acres. And memberships are available to help with, you know, you got to lease these farms.
Right, sure.
And there's tons of turkeys on some of these properties up there.
Wow.
And one of the outfitters that works with them is
this is Cecil Island?
Well, Cecil, Queen Anne's, and Kent counties, yes. So I mean, it's a hop, skip, and a jump across up across 95, or you know, and down, or across the Bay Bridge.
I used to shoot quite a bit of trap over in Galena. And,
Galena, sure. That you're right in the heart of it, right there.
Okay, so that area.
Yeah. But if you shoot me an email, Don, I'll be more than glad to connect you with these guys.
I sure appreciate it. What's your address, Alan?
It's Ellis, my last name, at ellisoutdoors.com.
Ellisoutdoors.com.
Ellis Outdoors LLC is the blanket company for the Outdoors and Radio Show, the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, Maryland Loves Crabs magazine, and a soon-to-be-announced new publication for the fall. So,
That's great. Well, when does turkey usually open?
April 18th is always the opening day.
18th.
Yep.
Well, Alan, I certainly appreciate the info. We got a great show, man. Thank
All right, buddy. Thank you. Talk to you soon. There he goes. All right, let's talk to Tackle Box Tim. Good morning, Tim. How are you, sir?
Hey, good, Alan. I'm doing fine. Hey, I didn't want to step on Dan's toes because he had the information up front, and
sure.
I didn't want to be
That's okay.
Wishy-washy on what I knew about it.
Well, I got it.
Yeah.
So what do you think of this? What do you think of this memorandum that came out?
I think they've got it, not to be pun intended, but kind of bass backwards because they did nothing to protect the fish during the spawn.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I understand what you're saying. If, you know, a lot of those fish are vulnerable, and a lot of states will close their bass season during the spawn, but, you know.
And many all head here.
What's that? And many
and
head
they,
here.
They all
yeah,
head
many
here
all
to
head
them.
Here to Maryland. Yeah. So,
yeah.
You know.
And that's a lot of pressure on our fish.
No question. Well, and then how many tournaments a week on the Susquehanna Flats?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There's no fewer than four or five competitive organizations up there that have, I would say on average, what, 12 tournaments a week every weekend?
Yep. You could say that wouldn't be out of the question, especially.
And there's only a limited number of bass up there. I mean, it's a big watershed. Don't get me wrong. You can go all the way up into the Susquehanna, all the way over to, you know, across on the eastern shore over there, the Sassafras and the upper shore rivers. You can fish, you know, you can go downstream, whatever. But it's a lot of pressure on the fish during the tournament season, yes?
Yes, it is. But you hit the nail on the head that when you said they're going to hurt the economy from tournaments.
Well, look at what it did. Look at what the Bass Elite tournament did for Cecil County.
Yeah, that like we had that in the Hunting Quarterly.
Yeah, it's in this issue of the Hunting Quarterly, the one that's online right now and on the stands right now. Absolutely.
But typically, to me, you get a little bit of economy from the weekend warrior tournaments here local, from the local guys, not so much the guys traveling to Maryland from out of state because they're going to gas up and do everything they need to get here and then go back.
Right.
But, you know, nobody in tournaments, weekend warrior guys, are going to fish for one fish over 15 and the rest 12 to 15.
Right.
That's not worth putting your money up for.
Right.
But they did the study on fish mortality, and I know that to me sounded a little bit dated because, you know, today's bass boats, with as much as they cost, they have the technologies to aerate the live well, to recycle the live well. They can even blow oxygen in the live well.
Right.
And there are things for the lids of the live wells to let air flow through. So,
right.
To me, the mortality is on the fishermen themselves from the time it leaves the live well to the time it gets weighed in and gets put back in the water.
Right.
And I have seen, I know we talked about, you know, being conservative-minded with different tournament trails, but I have seen in the summertime, even in late November, the release from these tournament anglers is to go to the bulkhead and dump the bag.
Right.
That's not conservation.
No, but let me ask you this question. Do you believe that if you catch a fish, video or take a photo of it with your phone, weigh it and enter the weight onto a handheld tablet, do you think that's the way to go in these bass tournaments?
I tell you what, that would be fantastic. That Major League Fishing format,
that's the one,
is the greatest that I have seen. Like you said with Dan, you know, you don't get the pomp and circumstance of the guys holding the fish up and doing the hero shots and such like that. But I would think for your weekend warrior tournaments, most of these are either team tournaments or buddy tournaments, where you have a co-angler and a boater.
Well, I understand. But, Tim,
you've got checks and balances there to where, you know.
Why do we fish?
To have fun.
Why do we compete with fish?
Because we're guys. No.
That's probably exactly right. Our competitive nature is, as humans, causes us to do things like that. I'm a better fisherman than you. Oh, yeah?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah? Prove it. I'll put $10 on it. I'll catch a bigger fish. Well, you know, it can be like that. Or it can be, hey, first fish in the boat's $1. Second, you know, most fish is $1, and biggest fish is $1. you know, if you got three or four guys. You know,
right.
That's typical stuff. Well, doesn't it elevate from there to, well, I got a faster boat than yours. Oh, no, you don't. Well, I've got more technology than you do. Oh, no, you don't. And it just escalates and escalates and escalates to the point where we now have, you know, bass fishing tournaments. I mean, Ray Scott never imagined where we would be with the technology and the competitiveness and that type of thing when he founded the Bass Angler Sportsman Society.
That's for sure.
You know, and entrepreneurs and enterprising individuals from the beginning, like Bill Dance and Roland Martin and Hank Parker and, let's face it, Johnny Morris, came out of that initial bass tournament and hundreds of others.
Right.
You know, Kevin Van Dam Rick Klun, and just name them all. And these guys have made fortunes at fishing, at competitive fishing. And the manufacturers found this as a vehicle, as a way to promote their products and increase their sales. Just like television. What's the purpose of television? To entertain? No. To provide a vehicle for people to see products being previewed right in their line of sight. While they're watching a program, the program gets interrupted by the commercial. You watch the commercial, and you're marketed by the product. Same thing with competitive fishing. Okay.
When it comes to the fishing shows today, it's more or less the commercials get interrupted by the television.
Okay. Well, there you go. Exactly right. Exactly right. So, you know, it's gotten to this point where the fish has become almost the byproduct. You know, it's almost like the TV show, and now the commercial message is the overwhelming piece of the puzzle.
Yes.
So where's the conservation part coming in? What is the conservation message of bass fishing tournaments? What is the conservation message of catch and release, spawning rockfish in the upper bay?
Right. Well, too, Alan, the one-day tournaments, the club tournaments, they don't have the infrastructure that your major tournament trails have with the release boats.
Right.
Getting water right back on the fish.
Right.
And I think that's sort of a detriment.
Right. I get that. So why doesn't somebody at the local level step up and say, why don't we try this, guys? It's $150 for a tablet. You know, why don't we, you know, or we can put it on our cell phone plan. Why don't we each get a tablet, add it to our cell phone plan, and when we come out here on the weekends, let's adapt our own rules and our own level of major league fishing, and, you know, we'll still have as much fun, catch as many fish, and instead of going back to the docks and dumping all the fish out and holding up to the biggest fish, we can keep track of each other and know who's leading instantaneously, and knowing it actually does take the competition part of it to an all new level, doesn't it, Tim?
It absolutely does.
I mean, I have talked
to some guys and they don't like knowing.
Instant gratification. Well, yeah, of course. I mean, it, you know, but you.
But there too, you can format it to where you use information to the tournament director, and at the end of the day,
right? You can do all that. So the question is, you know, what's the message you want? What's the message you want to take away? That you guys are catch and release, and you're conservation minded, you know, or you're competition minded. What is it?
Right. Exactly.
Or commercial minded. What commercial? I mean, you know, it's a commercial enterprise. What is the message at the end of the day?
I'm with you.
I mean, you got you want to tear it apart? Let's tear it apart. So I'm not against tournament fishing.
It's the thrill of competition. It's man against fish against man against fish, you know, and so on.
And here's the difference. A fish is, once it's released, can live, okay? But if you've got a squirrel derby, or you've got a deer hunting competition, or you've got something where you actually kill the animal, there's no conservation message there.
No.
Okay? Yeah, I mean, you might feel good about eliminating a bunch of squirrels and you know, having a big squirrel fry at the end of the day, but what's your conservation message? I'm just putting it out there, buddy. Just putting it out there.
I got you. All righty, sir.
Okay, man.
The rest of the day.
Yep, you do the same. Appreciate you weighing in, and this comes as a splash of cold water in the face of the bass fishermen here in Maryland, doesn't it?
It absolutely does.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's why when there's a meeting and there's a discussion and there's an email that goes out, it's better to read them and participate in the system and get involved and get concerned, and then there's no surprises because you've been part of the decision-making process.
I would like to see the reaction to this from the Bass Nation and the Federation Nation.
Like I said, there are representatives on the Sport Fish Advisory Committee.
Yeah, I would like to see the reaction from not just the representatives, but the fishermen as a whole.
Oh, well, all you've got to do is go on an online forum and you'll see it.
We will be checking that out shortly.
Good luck with that. All right. Tim,
thanks,
you take
Alan.
Care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. Wow, we have time for maybe one more call, but we got to tell you the last time today about Clyde Sports Shop Ready to Rock Sale. Yep, going on even as we speak through next Sunday, which is Easter. On sale, all rockfish trolling baits and tackle. All ugly sticks are on sale. All Fluger rods and reels and Shakespeare rods and reels are on sale. The most popular trolling combo, which is a Penn 330 GT2 and an Andy 20 to 50 pound rod with line, is $139.95. The lower end of the trolling combos is a Penn 309, a Shakespeare 6 foot rod with a roller tip and line for $89.95. And the Penn Special is a reel called the Warfare. It's a really nice looking reel. I've seen them, I've held them, I've reeled them. Haven't fished with one, but it's a 30 weight level wind reel. And it's $89.95. So check all that out at Clyde Sport Shop. And don't forget, you can take your empty spools in and have them filled with premium monofilament line for just half price, starting at just 1 cent per yard. And the only exclusion on that is Power Pro. So all the Berkeley, all the Strand, all the monofilament line that you want is all on sale and all half price. Just take your spools in and have them filled at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108, and the 24-hour fishing hotline. Gives you all the latest updated fishing information, 247-FISH, 247-3474, 247-FISH for Clyde Sports Shop.
Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex at Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hear this week's top newsmakers and a panel of expert political analysis on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace, Sundays at 5 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Okay, we're back with Scott. Hey, Scott, how are you? How are things in Middle River?
Things are good, Alan. Good to hear you again this morning. I was glad to see somebody called in about that. Moose still conceived plan that's very discriminatory against Maryland tournament fishermen. It's got a lot of flaws. It's totally, we were blindsided by it. And I would like to say that as you know, Roger and I have an outstanding relationship with DNR fisheries folks.
Right.
And we just had the Black Bass Conference down there, the Black Bass Roundtable, on February 4th.
Right.
And we were there, and then we were also a week later down at the Potomac River Fisheries Commission about the bass population and status. And
right. That's Marty. That's Marty Gary. That's Marty Gary's playground now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And nothing was discussed about this proposal or regulation that was just dropped on us, and it's got so many flaws. I mean, even BASS is threatening on pulling the Elite Series tournament in August out if this stands. So, yeah, I know you don't have much time left, but I could take up a half an hour telling you the negative aspects of this and the very, very minor benefit for the bass population. And you know, I'm the conservation director.
I know you are. Absolutely. Well, look, why don't we get you guys in here? Why don't we get you and Roger and a bunch of guys in here, and we'll talk about it. We'll promote it ahead of time, and get it out there. We'll get it into public discourse. I've got the document. Somebody sent me the document here just a minute ago.
Yeah.
And
Roger and I are meeting with Dave Blazer, Tony Prochaska, and Joe Love on Tuesday.
Right.
And hopefully this will be squashed for this year. We can discuss it and come back and look at, you know, I mean, they're already on an enhanced stocking program for the Potomac and Upper Bay, and they've already pretty much decided to have some catch-and-release areas only on both the Potomac and the Upper Bay. These are positive steps to help a struggling bass population on the Potomac River. Upper Bay is doing fine. We're catching a lot of bass up here, a lot of big bass.
Right.
So I know Potomac has problems, and we want to help, but we have to work together and have good communication. And this one, like I said, I love DNR and the guys down there. I think they're doing a great job.
Right.
But on this one here, they really pulled a boner, so to speak.
Gotcha. All right. Well, look, we're out of time, Scott. Get your guys together. This microphone is open to you guys anytime. You and Roger and the rest of the guys, come on in. We'll have a round table here, and we'll get fisheries folks in here too if they want. If they, if they-